twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Praise our God. You may be seated again this morning. I want to share with us encounters of a holy kind. Encounters of a holy kind. We've just read one of probably the most familiar and famous portions of Scripture of someone encountering the holy God of heaven. Someone seeing the majesty of an almighty God. Someone getting some insight into what's going on in the throne room of God. Now, this wasn't just recently. This has been thousands of years ago. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so what Isaiah saw on that day, that vision of the majesty of the throne room of an almighty God, is still there today. Hallelujah. It hasn't changed. There might have been a little bit that's changed because now Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father. At that point in time, not sure how it was all situated and what was going on, other than there was worship going on and magnifying of God going on and a reference to the triune God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. The reality of the earth is full of his glory. In other words, it's the handiwork of an almighty God. God has created all things. And so we see here then there's when man encounters God, things change. Not when man goes to church. Not necessarily when man reads the Bible. And not necessarily when a man prays or women pray, but it's when it comes to the place where there is an encounter of a holy kind. Hallelujah. There's just a place that God has reserved for the hungry of heart. There's a place that God has reserved for those that will diligently seek him. Not everybody saw God high and lifted up that day. It was just Isaiah. Not everybody encountered the holy God of heaven that day. It was Isaiah. And when Isaiah encountered the holy God of heaven, he immediately saw his need. He immediately confessed his sin. He immediately realized that he was a man of unclean lips. And that's just a reference to the fact that I just have not been doing what I should have been doing. And he dwelt in a people of unclean lips, to the reality of Israel was not where she needed to be either. But God took care of Isaiah's dilemma in this holy encounter. and he purged his lips. And as he did that, it brought forth a gratitude, a desire to honor, exalt, and make himself available. A little history behind this, just a little bit. King Uzziah was related to Isaiah. And Isaiah had just passed away, and Isaiah possibly could have been grieving in sorrow and wondering what's going to happen now. And as he was there in that state, this was an encounter God began to bring to Isaiah. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God this morning? This was an encounter that God was bringing to Isaiah. And Isaiah wonderfully received that encounter with a holy God. And he got to see what was really going on. Was there going to be any hope for Isaiah? Was there going to be any hope for Israel? And Isaiah got to see the reality of where all hope lies. It lies in God. Hallelujah. And God began to work in Isaiah, and it changed Isaiah, and it brought Isaiah to a place where he was ready now to serve, and I might even say serve again. Praise God, because he was not really excited at this point in time of what was going on. But God moved in a wonderful way in Isaiah's life to reestablish him to be the prophet that he needed to be in his day and in his hour. But it only came after that encounter of a holy kind. Hallelujah. An encounter with a holy God. A reality check, if you will, of really who's in control and who's on the throne and who has created all things. And the God that's able. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. So this is an encounter of a holy kind that we're starting with here this morning. But I want to take you through God's Word and give you a few more encounters. And we'll end up in the book of Acts with the encounter of a holy kind that is still available for all believers today. All men today, actually, who'll just call on the name of the Lord, put their faith in on Almighty God, and humble themselves before that God. And they will have an encounter of a holy kind of their very own. That personal relationship with a holy God. Hallelujah. But then time begins to roll on. We start in Genesis chapter number 28, previous to Isaiah, and before even Isaiah's time, just showing us the reality that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Genesis chapter number 28, we find Jacob. Verse number 16, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place." And here's the words, "I knew it not." I knew it not. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Hallelujah. I just want to share with us this morning, there's a lot of times, and especially if you're new in the ways of God and in the kingdom of God, there's a lot of times God shows up and we don't know it. We don't understand it. I mean, I can remember when God first started moving and dealing with me, I didn't understand it. I didn't know it. I didn't realize it was God. I just didn't know that it was actually God speaking to my heart, God speaking to my life, God speaking to that inner. And I knew it not. And here's Jacob. He's raised up in a house that has taught him about the God of heaven. Hallelujah. And he's a descendant of Abraham and Isaac. And so he's been taught about the God of heaven, but he's not had his encounter yet. Hallelujah. And I mean, it's just the similarity of the reality of even though you're born in a godly household and you may be raised in the house of God all your life, there is a point in time you have to have your encounter of a holy kind. That encounter with God on that personal level, on that personal plane of that personal surrender, of that personal commitment, that personal dedication, that personal giving all to the holy God of heaven. Well, it didn't happen for Jacob at this point in time. He come to a reality. God's in this place, and I knew it not. And he set up a pillar and a stone, and he anointed it with oil. But he moved on. He didn't really pursue his encounter. He just kind of made a bargain, you know, because it was kind of just in him to make that bargain with God. Well, if you'll go with me, then. And prosper me and bless me, then I will sooner or later get back to you. It's more or less what he was saying. And so in Genesis 31:13, it says, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land and return unto the land of thy kindred. So now the God of Bethel, that's where it took place, that where he made that vow. Well, if you'll do this and if you'll do this. And now God comes to him again and says, hey, I'm still here. Are you ready now to serve me? Are you ready now to go my way? Are you ready now to do what I need you to do? And so the story goes on, and he starts making his journey back. And the closer he gets to his kindred, the more fearful he becomes that he's going to lose his life. And then in Genesis 32 and 30, it says, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Jacob finally found that place of an encounter of a holy kind. And he finally got face to face with God. And when he got face to face with God, he had to confess who he was and how he was living. Woo. And it was simply done when the angel of the Lord said, what's your name? Because he was named correctly. He was Jacob, which meant the supplanter, the deceiver, the one that said, oh yeah, I will, and never did. What's your name? I am Jacob. What was he saying? I have sinned. I am unclean. I am self-willed. I've done my will and not yours. I've not sought you. I've not asked of you. I've not heard you. I mean, it's just all in that one name. I am Jacob. And he said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but it will be Israel, Prince with God. But in the midst of that encounter, he was injured. The angel touched the inside of his thigh, and he was halted there. In other words, it withered away. And he walked with a limp now. He had something to remind him of who he was now. He had that holy encounter with a holy God, and it changed his life. Praise our God. This is what I'm after. Encounters of a holy kind. Now, all through the Old Testament, let's go on to Exodus chapter 3, and we'll read about Moses. Moses had that holy encounter with an almighty God. And I want you to notice some things about Moses' encounter. I mean, because you got to realize Moses fled from Egypt because he wanted to be the deliverer of Israel, and he wanted to serve God. How many remember the story? He goes out and tries to do it the way he thinks it ought to be done. And he goes out and he kills an Egyptian. And then his own people turn him in. And he flees for his life. And so more or less, he puts that calling that he felt on the back burner. Says, I must have missed it. It wasn't a calling of God, and he flees. But after 40 years, you know, we think 40 years is a long time, but really it's not. Not compared to eternity. We think, you know, 80 years is a long time, 90 years is a long time, 100 years is a long time, and to us it is. But to God, it's not a long time. It's just part of the plan. We'll give you that time here, and we've got eternity waiting. Hallelujah. With grand, glorious things for those that believe in Him, trust in Him, and have had encounters of a holy kind. Hallelujah. Next is chapter 3 and verse number 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Hallelujah. Once again, God, he instigated this encounter. God moved on Moses' behalf. And God was calling Moses to a higher place and to a higher walk. And first of all, I want you to notice this again. Moses realized his unworthiness. And God reminded him of his unworthiness. But yet God called him in to his presence to give him directive for what he had planned for him 40 years earlier. But what was the problem 40 years earlier? Moses had been raised up in the land of Pharaoh, in the land of Egypt, and he knew not the ways of God. And at that young age, he was not very teachable. You know, I've seen people all through these last 37 years that wait till they get older in age before they become teachable. And thus they've lived all their younger years self-willed, trying to serve God their own way. And it doesn't work. Never has. Didn't work for Moses. It won't work for anybody. You got to learn to humble the heart and start doing it God's way. Hallelujah. So then when we humble the heart and start doing it God's way, then God can move in his power. He can move in his might. He can move in great, wonderful ways. And so when Moses embarked to do it his own way, yeah, it fell on its face. We don't know the time period of that. We just know when Moses felt the stirring and he went out to do it his own way, that it did nothing but cause havoc. But when he come back in God's power and he come back in God's way and come back being led by God, yeah, it still caused havoc, didn't it? But now God was with him. And God was taking care of the havoc, and actually God was causing the havoc too, praise God, because he was trying to bring those people out of that land of bondage. And some of them didn't want to go. Can you believe that? Hallelujah. And here we are in the New Testament, and Jesus Christ is wanting to bring men and women out of the bondage of self-will, the bondage of sin, and some of them are not real excited about it. They just not really what they want to go that route. I don't know if I want to live that way. Well, that's your choice. That's your desire. But you got to realize there's only one way, and that is God's way. That's coming from a humble heart and an acceptance as Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I've encountered also a lot of people that don't mind a Savior. They ain't ready for a Lord. I ain't ready for somebody to tell me how to live my life. I got too many things I want to do. Go ahead. Just go do what you want to do. Beware. Because you're not promised tomorrow. You ain't doing it God's way and you're doing it your own way. Well, that's actually called sin. That's actually called sin, no matter how many times you put God's name in it. If God's not in it and it's self-will, it's sin. It's sin. It's not surrender. And so we see that Moses, after 40 years, was ready to take off his shoes. What's that mean? That means he was surrendering to God. He was surrendering to God. That would be a message right there just to preach. Take off your shoes. Hallelujah. Because God's a holy God, and it's time to humble ourselves before a holy God. Hallelujah. So that he can begin to work wonders in our lives. Hallelujah. And so we see here is an encounter of a holy kind in Moses' life. And so let's move on. And now the one that came after Moses, Joshua. Joshua chapter 5, verse number 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua... I like this about Joshua. Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? See, Joshua was the man, wasn't he? Here comes a stranger to him with a sword drawn, and he doesn't hesitate a bit. He steps right to him. He's a good leader. Hallelujah. He's going to head this off right away because he says he don't know who he is and what he's after or what he wants. Are you for us? Are you for the adversary? It didn't make him any difference if it was for the adversary, then he was engaged. Praise our God. And he said, verse number 14, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Oh, God of heaven, help us. Give us a spirit like Joshua. Give us a spirit like Caleb. That's not talking about the Holy Spirit. That's talking about a humble spirit. That's talking about a reverent spirit. That's talking about the spirit, the mind frame. If it's God, then I bow. If it's God, then I obey. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to the King. I mean, woo. What would you do? God's moving in this house. And the Spirit of God dealt in your heart to come up here to this altar and take off your shoes. Oh, that's not God. Why would I need to take off my shoes? I don't need to take off shoes. We got grace. I don't have to take off my shoes. I can be moved on by God back here. Can you see what you're missing out when you won't obey God? I mean, can you even imagine? We've just read the scripture. Can you even imagine Joshua standing there before the Lord? And that was the Lord Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate form. Standing in front of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I don't have to take off my shoes. You can handle this no problem. We have not yet relearned in these last days the power of obedience to God. Hallelujah. No matter how small or minute it may be, the power of obedience to God. We talk about, oh, I wish I could see the power. Well, here's the answer. Oh, God says, I wish I could see the obedience. Hallelujah. And so God's willing to give the power. He just hasn't found too many folks that are ready to move with God in obedience so he can show it. So he can show it. Hallelujah. And so, I mean, it's just glory to God. I mean, that was something simple. Just take off your shoes. And Joshua took off his shoes. Now, I don't know whether you realize it or not, but Joshua was a warrior. And he was wearing his army boots of that day and that hour. It was not something to, I'm sorry, but it wasn't a sandal. I'm not against sandals. Don't misunderstand me. But he didn't just flip off the flip-flops. Okay, we got this done. No. He had on shoes for warfare. He had on shoes that were girded up, probably went all the way up to his knee, wrapped around his calf, help hold it tight for those battle times when them swords kind of fell that way. I don't think he wanted to be cut anywhere. He wanted to do the cutting, so he had on the armor. That's where we get the New Testament, the armor of God. Your feet shod. In other words, there were shoes. It was not an easy task for the leader and the commander of the children of Israel to start taking off his shoes. Number one, he probably had to bow down to do it, but he was already bowed down, wasn't he? And he just took them right off. When he found out who it was. Sometimes that's the hardest thing for human beings to come to the reality of in this New Testament time, that it's God. It's not just a feeling. It's God, the Holy Ghost, that has come and began to speak to your heart, began to speak to your life, began to speak to your mind. It's not just the preacher. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the teacher. It's God that begins to speak to the heart, and we're not wanting to admit that it's God. Why? Because if we admit that it's God, then we have to humble. We have to change our mind. We have to change our ways. We have to admit, God's talking to me. But now, if it's not God, well, that's just that preacher, then I don't have to listen. I'm only going to listen to God. Woo. It's evident they're not knowledgeable of God's word, because Jesus Christ saw to it that there were pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets for the edifying of the saints. And so when we dismiss the ministry of God as not God, then we don't have to pay any attention. We can do whatever we want to do. And guess what that is? That's sin. Because we're not wanting to acknowledge God's in the house. God's the one talking to me. God's the one dealing with me. We can dismiss it as just man. Then we justify our wrongdoing according that God's word speaks out against in our minds. And thus, there is no obedience to God. Thus, there is no power. There is no peace. There is no relationship. Because a relationship totally hinges on surrender. A relationship with God totally hinges upon surrender and humbling ourselves before the holy God of heaven and having encounters of a holy kind. And we see that Joshua, just like everywhere else we've just come through, the humbling of the heart. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. You want God to speak to you? Or you've been running from God so long that you really don't want God to speak to you. Or maybe you've never really encountered God in a holy way where He has spoken to you. Praise our Lord. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Because without the Spirit of God, there'll be no speaking. God's word without the Spirit of God is not speaking. It's the Spirit of God that quickens. It's the Spirit of God that brings it alive. It's the Spirit of God that begins to tell me, hey, hello, that's my word. Follow me. Woo, praise our God. I'll go ahead and throw this in here right now. We, as the church, have labeled this as praying through. That's the terminology. When Pentecostals say it's time for us to pray through, that is a statement of it's time for us to humble our hearts and have an encounter of a holy kind with our God, to where we come from that encounter with God changed, transformed, ready to obey, ready to serve, or ready to lay down our lives. Hallelujah, that the kingdom of God can be revealed on the face of this earth. That's what praying through is all about. Hallelujah. You know, and so many times we go too long without encounters of a holy kind. 1 Samuel 3 and 7 says, Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli finally perceived after the third time that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. I can relate to this story. I really can. Because even though I'd been raised in church, I did not know the Lord. And I did not know the word of the Lord or the voice of God. That's what that's referenced to. So here's Samuel as a young man. He's not just a boy. He's a young man. And here God begins to speak to him. And he doesn't understand. Now, once again, I'm trying to convey this. He doesn't understand what's going on. He doesn't understand it's God. He's not against God. I mean, he's been there from just a boy up. And, I mean, he's been a servant to Eli and wanting to serve God. But listen, young people. Because here's Samuel wanting to serve God, wanting to hear from God. But when God speaks to him, he doesn't know it's God. But he's been there at Shiloh from a boy up. But he doesn't know the voice of God. And so he keeps going to Eli. And that's good. I mean, it shows forth he knew where to go. He keeps going to Eli. And then finally Eli realizes God's talking to this boy. He says, All right, go back. God speaks again. Just say, you know, here it is. Here am I. Speak, Lord. I want to hear. Hallelujah. That's how I got saved. That's what I went to the altar. Lord, I don't know. I just didn't know. But whatever. What was I saying? Speak, Lord. Whatever it is, I want it. Do it. And he did it. Born again by the Spirit of God. My life changed in that moment. Hallelujah. And I could see there was a kingdom now. And I could understand and perceive I was part of it now. And my life had changed now. And so here's Samuel. These are the right words. Here am I. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. See, when you're in doubt, if it's God, just say, Lord, speak, because I'm ready to hear. And he will. He will. Because he wants us to understand. He wants us to know his voice. Hallelujah. So that we can follow him and be a servant unto him. And of course, Samuel became the greatest prophet of Israel. Because he had a relationship with God. He listened to God. He followed God. Woo, praise our God. Hallelujah. Now, moving rapidly here, Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came the sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. An encounter of a holy kind. Those believers of that day, tarrying and waiting for the promise of the Father, the gift of the Holy Ghost, for that ultimate encounter of a holy kind, being filled with the Spirit of God, coming forth, speaking in other tongues. Hallelujah. That's what they were waiting for. They didn't know they were waiting for that. They just knew they were waiting for the Comforter. They knew they were waiting for the Spirit of God. They had no idea they was going to come up speaking in another tongue. But you see, they weren't really concerned about that because they were going to do exactly what Jesus wanted them to do. They were there. They were ready. They were willing. They were waiting. And when the Holy Ghost came into the house and filled them up, they all just, as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance, and it started flowing out into the streets. Verse number 11, Acts chapter 2, there was Cretans and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? They didn't understand it. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't realize God was in the house. Hallelujah. They heard them speak their own language, but the speaker didn't know that language. But they were just speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance, happened to be their languages, so they could hear the wonderful works of God. What do you think they were doing? They were speaking in tongues, worshiping in tongues. They had no idea what they were saying, but I kind of got an idea. My hypothesis is they were magnifying Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, who had brought salvation to all mankind. It's a free gift from our God. They were magnifying God in an unknown tongue, probably preaching the gospel at the same time, and they were having the most wonderful time they'd ever had on the face of the earth. Hallelujah, in the presence of a holy God, a holy encounter, hallelujah, as the Holy Ghost filled their souls, hallelujah, and brought great reality to Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father into their hearts, their minds, and their souls, hallelujah. They had walked with Him on the face of the earth. They had seen Jesus on the face of the earth, but they had not encountered Him in this way. Woo, hallelujah, because now they encounter Jesus Christ in His glorified state, in His powerful state, in His spiritual state, and He filled their souls to overflowing, and it was joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. And that's why they came out of that house. Did they run down them stairs? I have no idea. They may have jumped out of the window. Who knows? They didn't mind because they're just going to land on their feet and keep going if they did. Why? Because it was the Spirit of a holy God filling their souls to overflowing with joy, with love. Hallelujah. And the pressure to preach the gospel, constrained by the love of Christ. And here the rest of the people are seeing this. That's right. Seeing this. Thinking they're drunk. And hearing. And out of that multitude that day, 3,000 got saved. Now, you got to realize, if 3,000 got saved, there was possibly 30,000 men. That's just kind of the running average of how many really respond to holy encounter with God, about 10%. So we look at that 3,000 and think, wow, so many people. Yeah, but we forget it's probably out of about 30,000 or more. So 3,000 got saved that day. Why? Because they asked, what's this mean? They didn't realize it was God. They didn't know it was God until Peter and the 11 stood up and began to proclaim, this is that which the prophet Joel spoke about. and 3,000 responded in humility and faith and obedience. Woo! That's what happens when you respond. Praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. How, where are we at? We're talking about 3,000 got saved. Why? Because they humbled their heart, responded in faith and obedience to the message of Peter, the preacher, unctioned by the Spirit of God, anointed by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And 3,000 got saved. What did he say? He said, hearken unto my words. Hallelujah. Verse number 37 says, and when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? O God of heaven, give us men and women that will make that a statement of their heart. Lord, what shall we do? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? How do you want me to walk? How do you want me to talk? How do you want, Lord, what would you have me to do so that I can have that fullness of your salvation, that I can have that encounter of a holy kind, that I can have that transforming power flowing in my heart, in my soul, and in my mind, that place of contrition, that place of humility, that willingness to surrender it all so Jesus Christ can be exalted and glorified. Do you realize when you choose not to be offended by something that offends you, you are glorifying Jesus Christ by showing forth that transformed life that he has brought to you. By saying no to that response, or that reaction, that initial reaction where the flesh wants to just, and you respond in gentleness and you respond in meekness, you have just glorified Jesus Christ by choosing the transformed life instead of the former life. Hallelujah. That's where we must continually keep our minds focused. This is what it's all about, to walk in the Spirit. It's making that conscious choice to walk in the transformed lane. Hallelujah. Sometimes we got to get out of the fast lane and get in the transformed lane and walk in that path. Hallelujah. Think before you speak. Hallelujah. Wow. How many times have you wished that you would have thought before you spoke? I don't want to keep track anymore. Praise God. It happens. It's real. Why? Because it is a willful choice to walk in humility before the Lord and to walk in the Spirit of God. It's a choice. God does not make anyone do right. I have to choose to do right. And sometimes we make the wrong choice, don't we? Sometimes we just choose to go with what we're feeling. But we have to make the choice. Are you for us? Or are you the adversary? Am I for God? Or have I become the adversary of God? Oh, man, that's tough, isn't it? Oh, wow. Because you know who our adversary is, don't you? Wow, I don't want to link up with him. I don't want to go that road. I don't want to go that way. I want to walk in the way.
the way of truth, the way of righteousness, the way of humility. And for me to do that, I need more encounters of a holy kind. I need more days of Pentecost going on in my life. That is now the encounter of the holy kind. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost now deals in the hearts of men and women, saved and sinner alike. Just because you're saved doesn't mean the Holy Ghost don't deal in your heart. Hallelujah. Yeah, we're not of that persuasion. Once saved, you got it made. Don't worry about it. Don't talk to God. You're just in, you know. That's not Bible. No. It's a relationship with an almighty God. Encounters of a holy kind daily, hallelujah, will be a benefit to our lives continually, hallelujah. But if we go too long without encounters of a holy kind, we get downright cantankerous, carnal, and very worldly. Because worldliness is not necessarily actions, it is an attitude. Yeah, praise our God. Encounters of a holy kind is what I need. I need the Spirit of God once again filling my soul to bring me to the reality of my unworthiness, coming forth rejoicing in the mercy of an almighty God, hallelujah, and helping me walk in that newness of life, praise God. But He can't help me walk in that newness of life if I will not pay attention to Him. Simplicity, if you're on a journey, been there many times, physical, literal, traveling somewhere, back before they had GPS and you had to go off that map, never been there before, you're listening for whoever's helping you to take the right exit. I've even used the GPS and wouldn't pay attention to it because I just didn't think that's the way I needed to go. Just didn't look like it worked right to me. And then I don't take the exit. And then I get a little further down the road and I realize, oh, now I know why they wanted me to exit back there. Your walk with God is very similar to that. Because God knows the beginning from the end. And sometimes the Spirit of God wants to give some directive that you don't understand. You don't think, I don't need that. That doesn't seem important. Don't you just love it when you try to give good advice to your children and they think, well, I don't need that. That don't seem important. But yet we turn around and do the same thing to God. Well, what do I need to do that for? I don't see any need in that. I think He didn't ask you your opinion. He just tried to give you a directive that's going to be the best for your life and what's coming down the road. Oh, I tell you, there's been so many times the Holy Ghost has prepared me for what was coming down the road. Didn't understand why I needed to do that then, but I just went ahead and did it, and it prepared me for what was coming down the road. See, he's for us. He's for us. Then listen. Because He has something for us this morning. Hallelujah. That is going to help us further down the road. Stand with me if you would. God of heaven, I praise Your holy name and I thank You, God. Hallelujah, for how You moved in Isaiah's life. I thank You, Lord, for how You moved in Jacob's life. Thank You, God, for how You used Moses and how You used Joshua and how You worked in Samuel's life. And God, I thank You for the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ prepared the way for that day. His death, burial, resurrection, oh God, brought us into newness of life, brought us into this new covenant with a holy God to where we could have holy encounters on a daily basis with our God and build a relationship, and You could write Your laws in our hearts. Lord, we praise You, God, for Your plan of salvation and the greatness thereof. And God of heaven, I ask You here this morning,
morning, Lord, speak, hallelujah, to our hearts, to our minds. Renew us, refresh us, revive us to where we are more committed, more dedicated, more consecrated than we've ever been, ready to perform your will on earth as you desire it from heaven, O God. Father in heaven, praise your holy name. Glory. Could we lift our hands in thanksgiving to the holy God of heaven? Hallelujah. For making this available. Hallelujah to all mankind. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.